My name is Martha Peace. For those of you that don't know me, I live near Atlanta. Tonight's topic is counseling wives whose husbands won't lead. So why don't we pray before we begin? Lord, we do thank you for your word. Thank you that it is so practical. And thank you that there are many things that as counselors that we can encourage wives to do if their husbands are sinning in this way. And Lord, I pray that you will be pleased with this, that you will use it for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A while back, Elise Fitzpatrick and Carol Cornish edited a book called Women Helping Women. And if you don't have that resource, it is excellent. And one of the chapters in the book was a chapter that I wrote on counseling women in problem Christian marriages. And I want to read a story that I made up in that book. As Janet shares her story, she is obviously struggling with frustration and resentment. She explains she wants to be a godly wife and to be under her husband's authority. She believes that this is impossible for her because Jim refuses to lead me or our family, spiritually or otherwise. When asked for specific examples, she gives several recent incidents of Jim's indecisiveness, even when nicely pressed for an answer. One such incident occurred when Janet asked Jim how much money to budget for certain items. He shrugged his shoulders and walked away. Other times, though he is a Christian, he steadfastly refused to pray with her or the children or to have devotional times with them. He reads his Bible and he prays, but he does so privately. Another example of Jim failing to lead is the way he avoids conflict. Janet says he either ignores the problem or walks away saying little or nothing. In dealing with the children, Jim is passive and Janet is left to take whatever disciplinary steps seem appropriate to her. When he is home and one of the children is disrespectful to him or Janet, he does not reprove or discipline that child. She cannot remember a time when her husband supported her because one of the children was disrespectful. She also cannot remember a time when he stood up to her when she was sinning. He would, however, withdraw from her and seem to pout. Now, I've been a NAANC-certified counselor. This year will be 20 years. And I don't know how many times, how many women have told me and that I've heard them just bitterly complain that their husbands were, he's a nice guy, but he will not lead the family, either spiritually or otherwise. They would say things like, I have begged him to pray with me and the children, and he refuses. Or, I want so badly to have family devotions with my husband leading, but he's not interested. He reads his Bible and prays, but not with us. Or, he's indecisive, and he won't make a decision. Or whenever there is a conflict, he just walks away, or he leaves the house, or he blows up in anger. Or he says nothing when one of the children is disrespectful to me or to him. I have asked him if we could visit another church that would be more biblical, but he ignores me, or he just says no. If I'm sinning, he won't stand up to me and be firm with me. Or he's irresponsible with money. He won't even talk about a budget. I'm left to pay the bills and hope everything comes out all right. Now, be aware that when you're counseling a woman and you're just hearing her side of the story, there is another side of the story. If you could talk to her husband, he might say things like this. Now, these responses would be sinful, but this may be what he would tell you. I've tried to lead in the past, but she won't let me. She says that's what she wants, but that's not how she responds. Or he might say, I'm tired of working all day. I'm not going to make any more decisions. Or he might say, my wife unnecessarily provokes the children to anger, and I'm not about to back her up. So, husband's sin, wife's sin, and him not rightly leading her is a huge problem. Let me give you then some biblical principles to help a wife whose husband won't lead. The first thing is you need to give her hope. Now, as we go through this, I've got crammed a lot of material in here, so I'm not going to read the scriptures, but you have your handout, and please go back and reread it and look up the scriptures. If I had 2 hours, I would read all the scriptures. But I would walk her through Romans 8, 28 and 29, and Lamentations 3, 21 through 25. That's where Jeremiah said, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, and goes on there. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. And I would tell her, even if your husband is a complete failure before God and he never changes, you do not have to be a failure before God. You can glorify God no matter what your husband does. Set your heart on glorifying God through rightly working through your circumstances. If your husband repents, you're going to have great joy. If he doesn't repent, God will give you grace to go through whatever pressures or whatever trials that you may face. She needs hope, and she needs to have a right perspective on her circumstances. And that is, of course, glorifying God and loving God by obeying him and then loving her husband. So give her hope. And then point B, point out that the place for her to begin working on this problem is by taking the beam out of her own eye. And I would take her to Matthew 7 and read her verses 1 through 5. And that's where Jesus said, before you can see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye, first, you have got to get the beam out of your own eye. And if she probably is dealing with wrong and sinful responses to her husband, and so you need to help her identify the sin in her life and the sinful habit patterns that she must, by God's grace, put off. I would gather data. I have a put off and put on Bible study that I use for homework. That study is in the back of most of my books, or you can email me and I will be glad to send it to you for free, and you can use it and copy it if you want to. But it goes through Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 and explains those verses. And I would ask her questions like, if we could ask God what you need to work on, what would he say? Or if I could ask your husband what you need to work on, what would he say? One time I had a lady come for counseling, and she told me this story about her husband and how mean he was, and he took all her money away from her, and he even would not let her write a check or have a charge card or any money. And I'm thinking, oh, this guy's a control freak. But I didn't say that. I said, well, if I could ask him why, what would he say? And she hung her head and she said, I'm not going to tell you. I said, well, you might as well, because I'm going to call him if you don't. She said, well, I got depressed, and I went out and charged $5,000. And I said, mercy, it's an emergency. He had to take your money away from you. So be aware. Always aware that you're not hearing both sides of the story. Now, some of the things that she may need to put off, one might be anger. And that's not going to be replaced until her mind is renewed and she starts